Praise the Lord. Don't we serve a gracious, loving Father? It is my privilege to preach from my father-in-law's Bible this morning. Had the privilege of preaching it at his funeral on Friday. He left, he didn't write a lot in his Bible, but he's been everywhere in it. Because he'd leave little marks. He wasn't one of these that had to highlight everything, but he'd leave a mark that he'd been there, a little check or a little star, or he'd touch the edge of the page with a highlight marker. It means an awful lot to know that he's been there and read the word, and to be able to participate in his life and also in sharing his memory, and to be able to share the word at his funeral just means an awful lot. Jeanette and I both want to thank you for your expressions of comfort and love the last week. It's been wonderful. We feel loved, and we appreciate your care and sympathy much during times of loss. But you know, my father-in-law has just passed from this life into the next. And though we feel the grief, we feel the loss, we know that everything that he was dealing with, it's over. And the hundreds of people that came to the visitation shared stories and testimony of how he had impacted their lives. I laid this Bible on the desk of the funeral director, and he said, "Oh, it's a big one." He said, you got a lot to preach, brother. And I said, "Well, I do, but I won't take all day." But I said, "There is a lot in here that I would love to be able to share as it relates to my own life and our lives personally." We continue on in our series this morning, Now What? You been there? You get that thing in the mail, you get that text or that message, you get that phone call, you get that knock on the door, and immediately your mind says, now what? And we know what's behind that because we're already strategically trying to make a plan on how to deal with the issue. And the thing that the great patriarchs and matriarchs of the scripture teach us is that immediately following now what is a humble request to God for his intervention. Amen? And that's where we miss it sometimes, isn't it? Because we can easily go from now what to creating a plan that will make things only worse. I can tell you from experience, I've done it If I've done it once, I've done it 1,000 times. So just from the example of Scripture this morning, whatever your now what is, let's stop and hear what God has to say and how He wants to intervene this morning. So, crisis and next steps of the faithful. No matter where we're at in our Christian journey, there are going to be crises. Let's just accept it. Why don't we all say, so let it be, or amen. All right, ready? Amen.
Amen.
Because we know that we're not facing these alone. Amen?
Amen?
We know that when we face a crisis, like coming up against the Red Sea and Pharaoh's army behind us, and we go, now what? We know that God's going to intervene. And so we drop to our knees and we say, Lord, not my will but yours be done. And whatever you're going to do, I'm with you. The children of Israel had a lot of growing up to do. Usually, as children, we don't know enough to know that we don't know very much. Usually, when we are, you know, I heard birds on the on the bike ride this morning, and you know, the Lord always gives me a spiritual truth on the bike ride, and I was thinking, you know, I had my headlights on, and I was driving on the trail, riding on the trail, and I rode by this bush. It was pitch black except for my lights, and this bird started singing. There was no other birds singing, but this bird broke out into song, and I guess he thought my little headlight was the sun. And I thought, you know, Lord, let me be the kind of person that breaks into song when I see the light. Why don't we just sing when we see God moving and God working and God's grace? And it may just be a little sliver of light compared to the sun, but you know what? Why don't we just break into song when we see, Steve, you were sharing when your father died, your pastor, what was his name? Pastor Beebe. I remember Pastor Beebe. Wonderful man. He said, Steve, you know why there's a shadow in the valley of death? Because there's light. Can't have a shadow without light. So let's get the light this morning. The children of Israel, the children of Father Abraham, they were just a fledgling young people, infants in what God had planned for them. They had lots of growing up to do. But like us in our own spiritual immaturity, many times we move ahead in pride, thinking that we have enough knowledge and we have enough maturity to get through whatever struggle that we're facing, right? So it's funny, the older we get, the more humble, or at least we should get. And it's a natural progression because life does break us down, doesn't it? The older we get, the more battle scars we have, the more wounds we have, the more grief that we have in regards to just the impact that life deals us sometimes. And in our own spiritual immaturity, sometimes we rush ahead, create a plan, and in our pride, we find ourselves in real hot water, and we get even further in trouble. Usually, it points to our immaturity when we think that we know it all. And no matter how far we get in our Christian journey, it's a mistake to face a now what with, I got this. Amen. I'm never going to be the guy, at least God help me not to be the guy that says, God, I got this. Because that'll be the day I'll go down. And the children of Israel, we can learn from that, because the children of Israel, so many times, in the face of problems, said, I got this. Why don't we get a new leader and go back? And you see, the devil always takes us backwards, and God takes us through. Amen? So before we give up in the face of the now what, it's time to move forward. And I don't know what your now what is this morning, but I do know this. The answer is not to go back. The answer is to move forward. But you say, there's a big barrier in front of me. That's what we're talking about this morning. So God was continuing to grow his people from infants in faith to spiritual giants. But it didn't happen overnight. It was process. And so we have this sense of the Israelites growing from infancy to adulthood, but it took a variety of points of breaking for that to happen, until they finally turned themselves inside out and said, in the face of the now what, they said, instead of I got this, they said, yes, Lord. Amen. Yes, Lord. I don't know how you're going to deliver me from this. I don't know what it's going to look like, but yes, Lord, I'm along for the ride with you. Jesus prayed it in the garden. The now what of the cross? The now what of the arrest? The now what of the betrayal? Instead of creating his own plan, what did he say? Not my will, but yours be done. So instead of saying, I got this, let's let the Lord help us. Amen. Today we're going to take a brief look at the books of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and Joshua. Now, like I said, in the face of a crisis, do not fear. Choose faith. Amen. I can get us out of here by 6. Do not fear. Have faith. They were children before they became a nation. Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. Remember that? Right arm. Okay. Just break into song. When you see the light, that's good. So let's pick up where we left off last week. You got your Bibles, if you got them. Just start in Exodus 15. And we're just going to fly through. You ready? Exodus 15. Whoa! Celebrate! They are on the far side of the Red Sea. They are amazed. In back of them is the Red Sea full of Egyptians. God had delivered. The chariots, the war horses. God had delivered. Exodus 16, now that that's over, what did the children of Israel begin to do? Started thinking, you know, I could use a hamburger. It was that fast, from Exodus 15 to 16. You know, I'm a little hungry. I'm a little thirsty. And the scripture writer seems to make it that abrupt. As soon as the Red Sea closed, the people started thinking about, well, now what's for supper? And they started grumbling and complaining. And they went to Moses and they said, what have you done? As soon as the Red Sea closed, they turned to Moses and said, we're hungry, and there is no place to eat. And there is nothing out here to eat except some sand. Sand burgers. You brought us out here to die. Oh, how fast we forget God's deliverance. Amen? How fast we forget that God has brought us this far. Praise the Lord. I know we're not supposed to look back, but God's done some amazing things. Amen? Exodus 17, water from a rock. They were thirsty. There was no place to get a refill. So God brought water from a rock. 17, Jethro visits Moses. Moses' father-in-law came up to Moses and said, Moses, you're trying to do too much. Let me give you some organizational tips. My father-in-law did that for me. When I was learning his way of painting and his way of doing things down south, when we lived there for a year, he'd come up beside me and he'd show me something, and then he'd start to walk away and he'd say, just about the time, you know, that I could get defensive, he'd say, just trying to make it easier on John. Just trying to make it easier on John. So Jethro visits Moses and said, Moses, just trying to make it easier on Moses. Friends, we need people in our lives, and we need to be open to them coming up beside us and giving us a little bit of constructive criticism and say, just trying to make it easier on Steve. And when we accept that constructive criticism, something happens. We move ahead. And we move from infancy to adolescence. Just trying to make it easier on Rod. Amen. That's God talking. Okay, we got to keep on going. Exodus 19 and 20, giving of the Ten Commandments. These were moral absolutes. They were a way to bring the chaos into order, the Ten Commandments. Chapters 21 through 24, there was civil organization. God brought this nation of, brought this from I don't know how many hundreds of thousands or millions of people that had no government, they had no infrastructure, they had no organization, and God began to bring that all together in chapters 21 through 24 of Exodus. God gave instructions for the building of the tabernacle. Now, we're not talking the stone yet. We're talking a tent. So instead of building a stone temple like was going to be built later, they were to worship, but they were going to be in a tent. And we're kind of in a tent, right? Living well. It's all right. Gave them instructions. And you remember when Moses in chapter 32 went up to the Mount Sinai and he was meeting with God and he was getting the Ten Commandments? You know what they were doing down there? Down at the bottom of the hill? They pitched all of their stuff in this raging fire, the gold. And Aaron said, I don't know what happened, as Moses is coming down and he's hearing the people going wild and they're doing crazy stuff. And this golden calf is out there in the middle of everything. And Moses says, what in the world happened? Aaron says, I don't know. He says, we threw all of our gold jewelry in this fire and out jumped this calf. Read it. It's in the book. What did Moses do? Took all the Ten Commandments. He was so upset. So upset. He took all the Ten Commandments. He took the two tablets and he threw them down and they broke. chapter 34, he goes and he gets new stone tablets that God inscribes with his own finger. Chapter 35, they begin the tabernacle construction. Chapter 37, the articles of the tabernacle, including the Ark of the Covenant, the table and the lamp for the tabernacle, and once they got it all done, the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And they could see it. They witnessed the glory of the Lord, and they knew that whenever the glory of the Lord would fill the tabernacle, that God was up to something. Now we move ahead to Leviticus. This is all about prioritization of worship and purity and holiness. Numbers tells us the story of how people prepared to enter the promised land. Here's a new generation of Israelites, and they were numbered and sanctified and organized, and God was getting them ready to move into the promised land. Numbers chapter 13, verses 17 through 27. When Moses sent them to explore Canaan, now here they are. God's been doing a lot of prep work in the Israelites. It's not for just any reason. God has given them a purpose, a mission, and a promise. I've called you to be a holy nation, set apart for my purposes, holy and righteous. When Moses sent them to explore Canaan, he said, go up through the Negev onto the hill country. See what the land is like. They'd only heard about it. Amen. They had to take by faith that God was leading them through the desert for a reason. Amen. See what the land is like, whether the people who live there are strong or weak. They didn't know. Few or many. What kind of land do they live in? Is it good or bad? What kind of towns do they live in? Are they walled or unwalled or fortified? How's the soil? Is it fertile or poor? Are there trees on it or not? They don't even know. All they knew is that God was giving them a land. Do your best to bring back some of the fruit. It was a season of first ripe grapes. You try to say it. So they went up and explored the land from the desert of Zin as far as Rehob toward Labo Hathmath. They went up through the Negev and came to Hebron, where Ahiman and those guys, the descendants of Anak, lived. Now, the descendants of Anak, we're going to come back to that. Hebron had been built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. When they reached the valley of Eshol, they cut off a branch bearing a single cluster of grapes. Two of them carried it on a pole between them, along with some pomegranates and figs. That place was called the Valley of Eshol because of the cluster of grapes the Israelites cut off there. At the end of the 40 days, they returned from exploring the land. They came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community. You got to remember, they have been waiting for 400 years for this report. They went in, they came back, and reported the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. That is a big cluster of grapes that takes two people to carry it on a pole. They gave Moses the account. We went into the land which you sent us to, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here's its fruit. And then by the time... they were like, whoa. Really? Too good to be true. Fantastic. And this is the land God's given us. God said, yep. And then in Numbers 13, 28 through 33, you may want to turn there. I'm going to leave it so that you can read that for time's sake. But here's where the reality sets in. Said, we did go in, but there were giants in the land, and we seemed like grasshoppers in their sight. And 10 of the 12 that went in came back and said, we can't do this. We are too small. We don't have the strength. We don't have the experience. We don't have the power. Joshua and Caleb said, yes, we should go. Let's look at Numbers 14 now, verses 1 through 4. By the way, to every vision that God gives you, there's going to be people who say, that can't be done. You are crazy. Don't even try that. You will get out there and get slaughtered. But you got to go back to the promise of God. What did he promise you? Didn't he say, I'll bring you through this? That night, all the people of the community raised their voices and wept. They were crushed. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron and the whole assembly and said to them, if only we had died in Egypt or in the desert, why is the Lord bringing to us this land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt? And they said to each other, we should choose a leader and go back. I don't care what you're facing this morning, before you choose a leader and go back, fall on your knees and cry out to God for his deliverance. Don't go back to the paths of sin. Don't go back to slavery. Don't go back to the way it was. We are to move forward in his grace. We must remember God's promise. And instead of choosing fear and caving to fear, we must choose faith. We find in chapter 14, 5 through 9 of Numbers that Joshua and Caleb fell on their knees and they cried out to God. Pretty good example for us there. Verses 10 through 36, God says, I am so disgusted with these people. I brought them so far. Done. You have chosen to not live by faith. So I'm going to let you wander around for a while. And that's our option as well. God says, I've got a brand new land for you, flowing with milk and honey. You can get there. But you can't let the now what scare you to death. You have to choose faith and not fear. If you choose fear, there's really not much I can do for you. You're just going to have to figure it out until the misery of the wilderness gets more intense than you can bear, and you will be ready to die before you'll take more of the wilderness and you're ready to go to the promised land. Amen. So, they chose fear and wandered another 38 years. Geographically, this journey should have taken 11 days. What I get from that is we can grow faster than we think we can. Spiritually. But it all comes back to when we face the now what, if we're going to choose fear or faith. And as we choose faith, God will provide. Here's the thing. There's no way around the hard stuff. Skipping the hard stuff is not an option. Not doing what we have been called to do because it's hard will only be harder on us because we're disobeying. true loss of life is not death of this body. It is a living body with a dead soul. A lifeless soul without, just existing without inspiration. I have been on the edge, and it's scary. And there are times when he will push you out there and you'll be like, oh my goodness, we're all gonna die. But you know what? That's where God shows up, and I am alive because I'm doing what I've been called to do. I'm living because my existence is not on my power, it's on His strength. So we move forward. Now we're going to fast forward to Joshua. I'm almost done. Look at the review here. God's provisions accompany His promises. Amen, Jeff. God's promises are accompanied with His provision. But if we're not going to follow the promise, there's no reason to expect the provision. You could go out today in the wilderness, wander around, and try to get water from that rock. Probably wouldn't happen. It's only when we're living by the skin of our teeth, hanging on to Jesus, that God shows up and provides miraculously. Crisis will always produce fear or faith. I shared the 11-day trip could easily take 40 years in your life. I like this. Good luck to not choose faith. All I can say for you is good luck. To not obey. There's no God power there. Amen. There's nothing there for you. Your heart may still beat for a little while. Your organs may still work for a little while. You may still drink and you may still eat. But real life belongs to those who trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still. Da-da-da, as we trust and obey. That song doesn't say da-da-da, I just couldn't remember what the words were. All right, coming in for a landing. Joshua 1, 10 through 11. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people. This is 38 years later, after they said no. Fast forward ahead. Get your supplies ready. We're moving in. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan. Here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. Here's where we are this morning. Get ready to cross. You're now what? Amen. Do not choose fear unless you want to go back. You got to choose faith to move forward. Get ready to cross. Oh, no. Another body of water? Hang tight. We've done this before. Amen. Amen. I wish we had all day. There's so much here. Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River. Get ready to cross. Possession of the land is yours. Deliverance of the promise. It's time. And they had, through the experience, grown from infants to a people of God. You see? They'd grown up now. And accompanying the report of, let's get over there and get it done, nobody said, oh, but there's a walled city over there. Jericho. Joshua said, what we're going to do is this. Once we get over there, and they said, yeah. Once we get over there, yeah. I want you to walk around the wall, okay. And then on the seventh, you know, you remember the plan? And then you're going to blow your trumpets and you're just going to make a lot of noise. And they go, yeah, okay, let's do this. That's humility. That's being broken 1,000 times. So disgusted with the past, so disgusted with my immaturity, so disgusted with my disobedience that I am ready to live now, even if it costs me my life. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, 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 da-da-da. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down. They had witnessed miracles. They had organized and learned the value of obedience. They had experienced failure, defeat, and loss. They had to mature. They had to grow, not chronologically, but spiritually. It was the life of faith that finally prepared them to enter the promised land. It wasn't through determination. It wasn't through skill. It wasn't through power. It wasn't through strategy. It wasn't through pride in their military. It was spiritual maturity. Amen. That's how we will move into the promised land. So we have this thing in all of our minds. It looks differently for all of us. But you got the don't walk and you got the walk. And everybody will tell you, in the face of the now what, if they don't have God vision, don't do that. You're crazy. They crossed the Jordan River. Because they followed the walk. Joshua 24, 28 through 30. Worship team, would you come on up? Then Joshua sent the people away, each to his own inheritance. Now this is after the city has fallen to them. After these things, Joshua, son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110. Now, I want you to get this. This isn't just the end. Joshua just got in, and he died. And you're like, we're all like, well, you'd like to spend a little time in the promised land. I mean, you spent your whole life, right? And they buried him in the land of his inheritance. And I think we can get very preoccupied with handing our kids everything but that. We can get preoccupied with handing our kids this image that we have arrived. That we have made it. And our kids, what they really need to see, and what really brings life to us as well, is this life of faith that just keeps on keeping on. It's a beautiful thing to die in the land of your inheritance. Because the journey continues. And they buried him in the land of his inheritance. It really isn't as much about arriving so that we can have it made. Amen? It's about growth the whole way through. growth and saying yes to God is where the life is. All other paths are death. Are you facing any fears this morning? Any giants? Maybe you're afraid of failure or afraid of the pain that doing the hard thing will bring into your life. This morning, I want to invite you to come and pray around the altar as we sing, God will make a way where there seems to be no way. Just want to give us all a little time to pray as we contemplate what God wants us to do from here. Steve, would you start us off there? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Lord, this is your time. And we need to make a proclamation of faith in our own lives right now, in the face of this current now what. So Lord, today we gather together and affirm each other, but all of us have to make a personal decision here this morning. There may be some couples here this morning that need to make a covenant together that says every time we see a now what, instead of one of us going darting in fear, we're going to fall on our knees before you and we're going to say, Lord, please deliver. There may be things going on that no one else knows about, that you're afraid about. You're scared. It may be physical. It may be emotional, mental, whatever it is. I want to encourage you this morning on the authority of God's word that life is in moving forward and life is in choosing faith. We can learn from the word, learn from the story of the Israelites. If you need to come and pray, the time is now. Let's sing together. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide. Hold me closely to His side. With love and strength for each new day, He will make a way. He will make a way. Let's sing that together again. God will make a way. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide. Hold me closely to His side. With love and strength for each new day, He will make a way. He will make a way. By a roadway in the wilderness, He'll lead me. Rivers in the desert I will see. Heaven and earth will fade, but His word will still remain. And He will do something new today. You need Him to do something new, provide new manna, new inspiration, new hope, new life, maybe even a miracle. Let's sing one more time. God will make a way. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide. Hold me closely to His side. With love and strength for each new day, He will make a way. He will make a way.
If you'd like to come and just offer your prayers of support to those here around the altars, feel free to do that. We'll just spend a couple minutes in prayer.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you for offering to us a new way to live. Thank you, Lord, for the reminder that when we're out in the desert and things seem hopeless and things seem like maybe we would be better off if we went back. Lord, remind us of your provision. Remind us that faith is the only way forward. Remind us, Lord, that your work and will come to pass and your promises are true. And Lord, only allow us to live up to what you've called us to be. Lord Jesus, don't let our fear of mistakes, our fear of failure, our fear of the giants in front of us, hold us back, Lord, from your perfect will. Father, today we claim your promise to move forward, and we say yes, Lord, yes. We will walk ahead. Thank you, Lord. We love you. Thank you for loving us enough to lead us on and allowing us to grow. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The promises, kind is the word. Dear of heart, and any message man ever heard. Pure was the mind of Christ, sinless I see. He, the great example, is the pattern for me. Sweeter far than any love that mortals have known. Kind to the erring one, faithful is he. He, the great example, is the pattern for me. Loving words, come unto me. Weary, heavy laden, there is sweet rest for thee. Trust in his promises, faithful and sure. Lean upon the Savior and thy soul is secure.
Where he leads, I'll follow.
Follow all the way.
Where he leads, I'll follow. Where he leads, I'll follow.
Follow Jesus every day.
Where he leads, I'll follow.
Where he leads, I'll follow.